things, to evaluate things, and to see where we're at. And where we are at is Romans 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Romans 12 as we pick up here in this last Sunday of 2023. And I did neglect to mention, please forgive me, a bit of administration that I forgot. Today is the fifth Sunday of the month. We don't get those very often, but on those fifth Sundays, we do have a plate on that back table that goes to our scholarship fund. We do have a scholarship fund, and for young people that are desiring to go to not just higher education, but also programs like Uplift Mountain or other things for their development, their growth as young adults, we have this scholarship fund, and any monies given on these fifth Sundays go toward that. So the plate's back there. If you're so led to give to that, we appreciate it as a church. But that aside, we're back in Romans 12, and a lot of water's gone under the bridge in the last couple weeks. Christmas, right? And all that that means, and all that we did for it. This time between Christmas and New Year's, I don't know, if it was a perfect world, and we know it's not. But if it was a perfect world, I would, if I was king, which I'm not, I would say, all right, the week between Christmas and New Year's, nobody works. It's like the Sabbath week, right? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? And I don't know how your jobs are going or whatever, but I was kind of hoping for a slow week this week, but I didn't get one. Still, it's time, you know, whether it's a slow week or a fast week, and I don't know, maybe I'm out of my mind. But it's always a week where I do a lot of thinking, you know, because we pause for the holidays and it disrupts our normal everyday thing, and then we got New Year's coming up. And I do a lot of thinking and a lot of evaluating of my own life during that time. I hope you do too, because it's a good time to do it. It's a good time to do it. Getting ready to turn over a new year. As we begin a new year, is a great time, as I just said, to check the gauges. You know, when you're I just thought of something. Some of us watch the gauges all the time, right? You know, I know those that drive equipment or spend a lot of time on the road or are more mechanically inclined. You know, watch the oil pressure or watch the fuel or watch the this or the temperature or whatever. We watch the gauges. I know some are less inclined to do so, but it's a good habit to get into from purely physical standpoint. We can check the gauges spiritually as well. Take a time, and this is a great time of year to do it, to pause and look at the gauges of our lives and see if we're getting to where we're wanting to get to. If we're making progress, you know. Not only do we check the gauges when we're driving, but oftentimes in the olden days, especially before the GPSs and all this and that, the sailors would use a sextant and they would measure the distance between the stars and the horizon and check to see, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I moving in the direction that I'm supposed to be moving, or am I going in a direction that I don't want to go? Yeah, makes sense, right? Time to check the gauges. I want to do a little bit of that today. And I know for me, you know, as I'm looking at my gauges of my life, you know, I want to have a good year. You know, having a kid, a baby, after 40 really puts you in tune with how old you are. You know, I know that many of you are older than me, and that's fine. I'm not doing age discrimination or nothing here. But yeah, my year, you know, as I look at my year, I'm thinking about my health. You know, I want to be able to whoop that kid all the way up to and past his 18th birthday. I got one down. I can still whip him past 18. So we're on a good track. You know, things that we all want, right? Balance. We want to be balanced. We want to be healthy. We want to be fit people to engage the things that are in front of us. And that goes not just physically. It's in all areas of life. We want to be fit and balanced physically, but also mentally, also spiritually. We seek that balance, don't we? That feeling of good. We check the gauges and, yep, we're on track. But that's increasingly difficult in our world, as we've been mentioning the last several weeks. There's so many voices. Which ones will we follow? Which gauges are we checking? Who's running them, you know? These are important things to evaluate, rather. We're going to be reading in Romans 12. We left off in Romans 12 after about verse 8, I think. Where we left off was Paul urging us to offer our bodies, you'll remember this, offer our very bodies as living sacrifices. We talked a little bit about that 1 week. It's been about a month ago now, of offering our bodies fully given over, fully poured out, fully dedicated to God, given over. Something that we can't pull back. We can't unburn the calf, right? But rather, he asks us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We also talked about that in that giving over and in that offering that God has given us gifts. We read that in verses, I think it's 3 through 8. We talked about the different gifts that he's given us that we possess here in this room, the gifts that God has given us, each according to his faith. Cool stuff. Really neat stuff. So I want to kind of build from there, and we're going to be reading a little bit more in this chapter, but I guess I want to teach, as we go through this and as we evaluate this, as we check the gauges together, I want to share a story that happened to me last night. So, you know, it's a time of evaluating, lots going on, and Magnus has been sick, so night times have been a little weird. It's funny, too, because he's sick, and yet he wants to just be up and wrestling all night, it seems like. And so sleep's been a little weird, so I was up last night, and I woke up about, I don't know, 4 o'clock or so, which isn't, you know, for some of y'all, that's normal. Some mornings it is normal, but last night it was still the middle of the night. Woke up and just laying there, and just, you ever get that feeling, I know you do, of being unsettled. Just nothing, like, particularly wrong, just not feeling settled. And I don't know, I got up out of the bath, I got up and went, used the restroom, got a drink of water, came back to bed a little bit. And as I'm just kind of evaluating this feeling of unsettledness, you know, chasing it down to see where the smell is coming from, a song, and I talk about this too, I'm the human jukebox, every day there's a song in my head. I wake up, every time I wake up in the morning, there's a song in my head, and it's totally unpredictable. But this morning, it happened to be an old hymn, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." Many of you know this one. And so I just had the chorus of that, and so I'm, you know, kind of stumbling back to bed, and I'm thinking, okay, wherever he leads, I'll go. It's a good song. I know it. And it's true. Wherever he leads, I will go. But here's the problem. Maybe this is why I feel unsettled. Where are you leading? Yeah? Where are you leading? And I need a friend to help illustrate this next part. And some of you will be slapping yourselves in the forehead, maybe. But here comes my friend, the whiteboard. Asking myself the question this morning, where are you leading? Asking God the question, where are you leading? Because in my thinking this morning, at least, sometimes I missense leading. A couple of weeks ago, my dad asked me to come over, and he had some cows in a pasture. Okay. And that one has a ear. Okay. Those are the cows. And he needed to move the cows from the pasture over here to the pasture over by his house. And this is about, what, a mile, give or take, about a mile away. And generally, the easiest way to get the cows from the pasture to the house is just to drive them, just have a good old-fashioned, you know, yeehaw cattle drive. And usually they provide us with a yeehaw cattle drive. But this picture came to my mind as I thought about wherever he leads, I'll go. And you say, Joe, how'd you get there? Well, here's how I got there. Because those cattle could not be led over here. There's a difference between being led and being driven. And I want us to make a clear distinction between those two today. Because the way these cattle needed to go was they needed to have, you know, me and Shane and Rhett on four-wheelers and took a path like, you know. They needed to be driven out. They would not be led out. Notice the difference? And here I'm laying in my bed feeling a little driven, you know? Driven not in the sense of like I'm a driven man, you know, I'm going to go grab the tiger by the tail and, you know, all that stuff. Not driven in that sense, but feeling driven because being driven out or to something, being driven to something, that motion comes, those cows moved, not because they were being, that they were after something that was outside the pasture. They were convinced to leave the pasture from a fear, right? From fear of discomfort or fear of pain or fear of us, right? That was what generated their movement. They were driven out. And I thought, what a difference between being driven and being led. Now, if they were good little cattle, right, all Dad would have to do is fire up the old 870, stick a bale on it, and they would just come a-running, right? If they were good little cattle, if, big if, because they weren't. So then there really is the question, right? Where are you leading? Because I don't want to be driven. I want to be led. Yeah? Are you tracking with me? So I'm having this discussion with God or my pillow or last night, this morning. Where are you leading? And it was an open-ended question. You know, didn't get that ray of God, you know, oh, you know, the host of heaven kind of experience this morning. But all the same, I asked God, I said, okay, well, where are you leading then? I want to go, you know, wherever you lead, I'll go, right? Where are you leading? About that time, my phone rings on the nightstand. Now, being who I am and what I do and all that business, my phone occasionally does ring on the nightstand. And it's never, hello, Joe, just wanted to tell you I love you, man. Having a great night. Everything's going right in the world. You can go back to sleep. Love you, buddy. Bye. It's never that. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form, saying, don't call me in the middle of the night. Hey, if you got to call, right? It's okay. It's part of it. I signed up for it. In fact, I even got a cup for Christmas this year. It says, in case of emergency, call Joe. It's kind of silly. But my phone rings about 4:20 this morning. And so even before I can turn over and look and see who it is, you know, I've got all the scenarios running through my head. I'm like, okay, well, it's not a school shooting at least. It's good because it's 4 in the morning, you know. What's going on? And I saw who it was, and it was one that I knew that I could at least silence the ringer and not wake the baby up and everything like that. And I got a hold of this guy on the phone. And, I don't need to give you the details, but he was upset, and slurring his words and this and that. And, you know, 15 minutes on the phone or whatever, we had the issue resolved at least till he wakes up today. But when I got back to bed, or I didn't go back to bed, I made some coffee and sat in the easy chair. I was like, oh, so that's where you're leading. You're leading me to do what it is that you told me to do. I said, I see where you're going with this. But here's the rub. It's New Year's, right? This is a very comfortable and easy place to sit back with a cup of coffee or some friends or whatever, a party at your church, and say, we got this new year coming up. In this year, I envision fill in the blank. I envision I'm going to get healthier, or I envision I want to start a prayer group, or I envision I want to, reconnect a relationship, or, you fill in the blank, right? There's 100 things that from where we sit right now today in this pew, on a good day with good friends, that we can look forward and we can say, you know what? That sounds right, that goal. That feels right. It looks right. I have everything I need to go this direction, and it feels right. Yeah? But you know what happens, right? You know what happens. Tomorrow morning when it's time for that skullcracker, or it's time for that workout, or it's time to say no to that thing, or that phone call comes, we come confronted with the reality that to say yes to his leading will cost us something. Yeah? And that's when the real, the reality of it kind of smacks us in the face. Especially when it is concerning following our Lord. Really. We make those resolutions or we make those goals really quick. Something, part of that reality of the cost of it, slams us in the face. So that's where we find ourselves today. Our Lord, our Master, our King, right? The Christ, Messiah. He calls us. He's calling us. And he's calling us out of the pasture, Because here's the reality. It's safe in the pasture. It is. For now, it's really, really, really safe in the pasture. We like it here. Even if it is a little, stagnant, and if it is a little mediocre, it's safe. It seems safe. But having a perspective that we have, at least looking at those cattle in the pasture, is that the grass is going to dry up in that pasture. And it's the same for us. If we stay where we're at, we've got energy for today, yeah, maybe. We can hold on for a little bit, but sooner or later, if we don't follow, we will dry up. And some of us have experienced that. Maybe over and over. We stay in the same place. We dream of following the shepherd out of the pasture, but we just, we convince ourselves that we're gonna, and then what happens? As soon as we step outside the pasture, it's not so safe, and it's pretty uncomfortable. Now, I don't know. How is he calling us forward? He's called us forward. We talked about this a little bit last week, because what did we talk about last week? We talked about the Word of God, right? Capital W. That Word, that Logos, that spoke, let there be light, that spoke all the universe into existence, the one who crafted man out of the earth and breathed life into his nostrils, who divided the animals according to their kinds and told the sea only this far. That same one, that same Word became flesh. Everything that God is was contained in flesh, right? Pretty amazing stuff. And then he didn't stay baby Jesus, no. He grew up. He grew up and he began to exhibit, he began to reflect more and more and more each day of those qualities of that, of his godliness. And as he grew, it was documented. We have it documented in the stories of in the Gospels, they charted his teachings, the things that he said, the things that he did. His word. The word cannot be divided from his body or what he said or what he did. All of it was the word. His word. And even after Jesus went to the cross, was crucified, died, was buried, raised to life, ascended into heaven, even after all that, sends his Holy Spirit, he says that it's by his word that all things will be judged and all things will be put to right. So he calls still. He still calls. He's still speaking. That word is still speaking. It speaks to us when we get up in the morning. It speaks to us when we sing at church. He's always speaking. He's calling to glory, to life, to holiness, to wholeness, right? Always calling, calling, come, come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, all that stuff. But Jesus says something, and I don't want this to take too difficult of a turn, but let's be honest, okay? What he says, what he does, he's true to himself, and it's by his word that we, along with all other creation, will be judged, right? Our actions, our motives, our deeds. And he says in Luke chapter 14, this is Jesus talking. Luke 14, 25, it says, well, this verse, part of a sentence isn't his words, but you understand that. It says, now great crowds accompanied him and turned, and he turned and said to them. Great crowds, Jesus turns and says to the crowds, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's a big pill to swallow, isn't it? It really is. It is. I'm still learning what all that means, as I'm sure you are too. Still learning what it means for us as a body, as a group, a fellowship. Learning what it means for each one of us. But we need to know, be aware, that when Jesus Christ calls, his people come. Come. Come out of the pasture. I got green pastures. There's life. There's glory. There's holiness and wholeness. Come. We have to know that when we take those steps, it will cost. It will cost. Back to Romans 12. offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your worship. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed. And the marks of that transformation, he goes on to give us. In Romans 12, 9, after he talks about offering our bodies and after he talks about the different gifts that God has given us, he says this. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hate it. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil." That's a hard one. "But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Hang with me. We're getting there. Hang with me. We're getting there. The mark, then my Bible, it has that as the heading over that passage I just read. Marks of the true Christian. In reading that, and I hope that, you know, the Lord is with us when we read that. Do you have circumstances come to mind when you read that from your own life? I do. I see people, circumstances. I feel emotions that I feel about certain people. And it becomes, for me at least, and I think for all of us, if we really lay it out there and ask and are seeking for to hear from God, it becomes a gauge for us where we can see, yeah, maybe I need to check on that. Maybe the idiot light, you know, is going off on your gauge. It is on mine many times. But these marks is the calling. You see? It's his voice is calling us to glory. If we want to be counted with him, if we want to experience and grab a hold of the glory and the life and the holiness and the wholeness that he offers, this, his word, judges our motives. So then we come to the question, the real crux of the matter, right? Will I let this word touch me? That's a difficult question. And it's one we can't avoid, that we will make that decision by admission or omission or commission. Will I let that teaching touch me? Touch my life, touch my relationships, touch my responses, all that stuff, you know? Maybe, yes. Maybe the answer is yes. I will let that teaching touch me. I will swallow my pride. I will, as Jesus instructed me, hate my sinful nature, even my own life, and acknowledge that I need to just lay that down. Love my enemy. Yeah, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost me sleep. It's going to cost me comfort. It's going to cost me safety. But it's what he said to do. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Maybe the answer is no. It's all good, Jesus. I appreciate you for who you are. But that one is not for me. I won't turn the other cheek. If somebody wrongs me, I'm going to wrong them right back. It's hard, right? It's hard. That is difficult, but that's what we meet with. As soon as we start to head out that gate, that's what we're met with. It's the reality of a life following the Master's call is so different. It's so radically different than the safe pastures that we have made Christianity in America. So radically different. I want to end with two things. One brief illustration and a passage of Scripture. Okay? And you guys are awesome. We're here. We're here together. I asked Dan if I could use this. He graciously said yes. He's a part-time band instructor for school here in the area. What a cool job, because you get to, you know, rub elbows and bring up the youngins and correct their ways and all that business, which I'm sure he does. But his main area of teaching is in their ability to play their instrument well. It's his job. It's what they pay him the big bucks for. And he was telling us this morning that prior to his taking that position, the young band, the elementary school band, was not required, expected to, or even asked to practice between rehearsals. And so they would get together once a week or twice a week, and they would play. And then they would leave their instruments and they would go home and do about their business and their sports and the recess and their math class and science. And then next week they'd come back and play for an hour. What kind of a band do you think they'll be? I'll let you draw those conclusions. But it was just the de facto, the default, that band stayed in band class. And their performance was accordingly. Now, Dan being the standing director that he is, said, "This ain't gonna work. If you guys want to be a good band, if you want to sound good, if you want to feel good, if you want to let this art form touch people and have an effect, you're gonna have to take it home with you." How can we apply this? It sounds familiar, doesn't it? The pasture. See, we're in the pasture here. We meet once a week. It's good. If we want to be a good band, we're going to take it home. Take these questions home. Take these teachings home. Take them into our relationships. If we want to touch people. Last, a word from Scripture. And I want to remind us all of this. It's hard. We're up against some hard ideas, some hard teachings, right? This is difficult stuff. It touches us. It's going to cost us something. But I want to remind us of who it is that it calls us. Who it is that calls us to these things. In the book of Revelation, there's a passage that reads, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, we're following him on white horses. A vision of things to come. And this is the one who calls you. Come and see. Come and see. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim or o'er the stormy sea. I take the cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. My heart, my life, my all, I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'm here. We're here together, okay? As I chart this new year, ask yourself, will I follow my master's call? Wherever he leads, I'll go? Or will I decide to stay in the pasture? I can't decide it for you. But I ask, as we close with this last song, I'll have the band come on up. As we close with this last song today, ask yourself, check the gauges, see where you're at, and act accordingly. If you need to pray, pray. If you need to talk with a brother or sister, talk with a brother or sister. There's no hard, fast rules about here, about this, except that we listen to his voice, be obedient, and be orderly. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our good King, our good and powerful King. And Lord, we acknowledge that you call us to life and glory and meaning and deep purpose and power. And we acknowledge that you are good. But we acknowledge, Lord, that it is scary and difficult at times to go where you lead. So, Lord, I ask that by your Spirit, you would give us strength. By our brotherhood, that you would give us strength. And that, Lord, we would say yes to your call and bring you great glory. For it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen.